Hi, I'm Wendy Francis, nutrition therapist, emotional eating expert, and entrepreneur. I've helped countless people overcome their obsession with food and weight. Isn't it time you overcame what you had become and ignite who you were meant to be? Your time to become an overcomer starts now. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Overcoming Emotional Eating Podcast. We have a special episode, one that we haven't done yet on the podcast. As you know, traditionally, the majority of the podcasts that have been released so far have really been around just a monologue around content or live Q&A pre-recorded with specific clients. Today, however, I'm actually going to do an interview with an amazing woman and friend who has done a lot of work in the coaching field. Coaching and changing emotions and emotional states are a tried and true friend, so to speak, and they go hand in hand. So I really wanted Jamie Sterling to come on with me to do an interview in how to help you all work with avoidant behavior patterns, because we use food for so many things and it can help us avoid certain emotions. So Jamie Sterling is a board certified coach, professional certified coach, fitness and nutrition specialist, NLP master, and peak performance specialist. She trained under the number one internationally renowned company in the personal and business development industry. That is actually where I met Jamie Sterling and we did some training together. She's also a coach and trainer with a top-rated elite group in leadership development and has collaborated and created a five-star rated podcast called Real Raw Truth. Jamie and I actually did Real Raw Truth together for quite a long time. And it was a lot of fun. I love doing work with Jamie, and that's part of why she's on today. She's also a trained speaker, facilitator, coach, teacher, mentor, mom of four, and definitely a trustworthy friend. Her unwavering love and devotion for people is undeniable, and there's nothing more fulfilling to her than to make a difference in someone else's life and to help them design a life they love and level of happiness and freedom they never thought possible. That, my friends, is why I'm having Jamie come on with us today to share her expertise. And she definitively has a love for helping people and enabling them to find their truth, their passion, and their purpose. So thanks so much for coming on with me, Jamie.
Oh my gosh, it is my pleasure. And wow, I was listening to all that going, gosh, I want to hear this. Thank you for that beautiful intro, and thank you so much for inviting me on today. It's my pleasure, and we always have fun and deliver so much cool content that people can really use right away, so I'm super excited.
Yeah, which I really wanted to do, especially right now with how everything is going on. Things are moving really fast right now in our country, and my brain always goes to what's happening for my clients, what's happening for the people that I love and know are on a journey of overcoming. And now with all the fear and anxiety on the planet, we know that it can be even more difficult to change our behaviors. What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, I so agree. And gosh, it's global. It's not even anymore just within our own homes. It's a global feeling of that anxiety. And you know, we all want to be informed. We all want to know what's going on. But when we watch the news to get that information, boy, they just feed right into that anxiety, right? It's hard to come up with creative solutions when you're feeling that panic, and it's hard to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. It is to feel that panicky, anxious feeling. And I feel like now we're even more so inundated with that feeling of anxiety because it's palpable wherever you are right now.
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's palpable. And really all that we can do is find ways to calm ourselves, right? To get that mindfulness And honestly, I really think this is an opportunity for people to kind of take a step back from life, because we kind of have to, everyone's in their home, and maybe do some reevaluating, you know, so maybe some recreating of areas in their lives that have not been working and that we have to change anyway. So this could be a really amazing opportunity, starting with some emotional eating patterns and avoiding how we're really feeling. Probably isn't new. It just might be showing up a little bit more loudly right now because of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, screaming, right?
Because yeah, yeah. It really is.
Yeah, yeah. Because you hear it coming from all angles now, right? From, you know, people you're walking by to what's in your headset to what's on your home screen on your computer. You can't really escape it anywhere. And so emotions are really
so true.
Running high, right?
So true. To what's in your grocery cart. I mean, that's an interesting look at what's going on for people as well. You know, in trying to escape that feeling of panic and anxiety, people may tend towards foods that might feel more comforting. Maybe they're feeling bored at home, so they maybe use food as entertainment. Maybe they revert back to childhood habits. Maybe we grew up in homes that having food or being fed sugary foods or unhealthy foods was kind of a way to be rewarded. Mm-hmm. So, and it's a social influence thing too. So if we're all kind of sitting in the house eating whatever we're eating, it could be good choices. It could be not so great choices, but it's not new. So my point really being is that whatever's happening for people right now is probably not a new pattern. It's just louder now. So now is an opportunity when it gets louder to go, wow, this is what I do when I'm feeling stressed.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when you feel that and now there's nowhere to turn, right? You know, I mean, you can turn to food. Food, the bad and the good thing about food is that it can always be your friend. It can always be available. And interestingly enough, even through these times, we still have and are actually blessed to have the availability of food, right? But we still have this enabling of food as our friend and providing, you know, that comfort that's from food in our homes now. Maybe we're not able to go out to a restaurant or go to our favorite drive-thru to get that comfort. But now you see grocery stores being wiped out of food and people coming in their home with that.
Yeah, being wiped out. And it's so interesting how certain aisles are just wiped out. So we were laughing earlier, you know, the meat area is wiped out. The paper products are wiped out. I don't eat meat, but I was actually looking at the meat being not there without it being there and thinking, oh my gosh, I don't have meat, but I don't even eat meat. It was just like this scarcity feeling like, oh, I need to go get some meat. I need to go get some toilet paper quickly. And we have like 300 rolls of toilet paper in this house. I don't need toilet paper. It's just the feeling of that panic that we all maybe need to step back, you know, take a break, take a breath, and then choose something that's more empowering, not from that vibration of anxiety.
Yeah.
And really even to allow the feeling of anxiety, because I think so much of these patterns is about avoiding that feeling, because let's face it, it's tough to ride these difficult emotions.
Absolutely.
The thing of it is, though, there's such an opportunity here to maybe get down to the bottom of what those emotions are really from, and do some real healing work, you know, do some real positive changing in your life.
And to recognize that, you know, a fear, you know, a feeling is not a fact. I mean, right now we're living in anxious times and there's a lot of anxiety going around. And obviously, if you get the virus, you know, there's a fear of getting this virus and what it's going to do to the country, right? And I understand the fact behind that. So I'm not aloof to that by any means. I've actually read more objective reports than I care to name, just because I'm trying to see what that does for my business, for my clients, etc. But I also think that there's a lot of media hysteria that's added to the anxiety. And if you can harness anxiety and fear in yourself now, well, then when things go back to normal in a few weeks, you've got it mixed. It's like you're in the throes right now of the fire. And if you can learn to sit with this emotion without acting out with your food, well, then normal times will be easy.
Oh my gosh, I think that is such a key point. I really do. And it's kind of like we're all in somewhat of a boot camp sort with the emotions. And what a great feeling to think that after all this clears, and it will, that we'll be even stronger for it, that we will find ways to handle everyday stress, which, you know, this is just training us all. So there's really an opportunity here. And I think in the food, it's such a tangible, observable behavior. Mm-hmm. Some of these emotions, when we avoid them, maybe people behave in certain ways that you can't see it, but this one you can see. So there's greatness in there. It's kind of like, I wonder if, you know, we all maybe kept a food and mood journal and journaled how we're feeling, you know, what our food choices are. And then, you know, how were you feeling before you choose the food? How do you feel after you choose the food? And catching that emotional pattern, seeing what that cycle is.
Yeah. 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 And taking this time to just, we have the time, let's face it now. People are being called off of work for, you know, anywhere from 1 to 3 weeks. People are working, you know, more remotely now. There is more time now. I read a great article this morning on, you know, how actually you could do a whole lot more now than you could do last week when we were still running around in the throes mm-hmm. of normal life. So now you actually have the time to sit down and write down how you're feeling and sit down and make yourself a healthy meal, even though you want to eat the candy bar. I mean, even though you want to eat the cake, even though it's calling you, and I get that. I really, really understand that feeling of being called to something so hard that you can't hold back. But now you have the time to think through it and slow down and pause. And even if you take that reflective pause for 60 seconds and you set the timer on your microwave and you start making a salad, or you start making, you know, if you have meat and you got it off the aisle, right, cutting up that meat to start to grill or to put on your fryer, you know, whatever that is, making that healthy meal, setting that timer for 60 seconds instead of going to that cake or that cookie or that candy bar or those chips, the thing that quells the anxiety. What if you looked at food as real nutrition instead of nurturance? What if you looked at food as a way to keep your immune system healthy to override this virus? Because we do know that healthy food helps your immune system. And so if we start to think about food as really our fuel and less about our emotional component, well, that right there can change you forever. Right, that right there,
oh, I think
you're really overcome.
Yeah, and I think that is such a huge point. And I think seeing that food is fuel and not using food to feed feelings mm-hmm. and to know the difference between when you're feeding feelings, when you're feeding avoidance of feelings even, because that's what we're speaking to right now, and knowing the difference between physical hunger and trying to like you said, quell something. To stuff it. So how, I'm wondering, like, how would someone know the difference between physical hunger and emotional hunger?
Well, the first thing I always tell clients is to get quiet. So to set your timer for 60 seconds and to really feel underneath your rib cage in your body, put your hand there, because that's where our stomach is. Contrary to popular belief, it is not in our groin area. That's our intestines. So we don't feel anything down there. But you have to put your hand up underneath your rib cage and just rest it there lightly because it will bring your attention there. And see what you're really feeling in that area of your body. Does it feel open and empty like a balloon with air in it? Or does it feel solid like a rock internally, which means it's full? Is your stomach growling? Are you getting any signs or symptoms of that? Or is it something that's coming from your head like a craving? Like, gosh, I wish I could just crunch into those chips right now. The salty flavor I need. Okay, that's a craving. That's not coming from your stomach. Our head thinks about food like that. The reward center of our brain looks at the taste of things. Our stomach doesn't. So if you're looking for the creamy, chocolatey mouthfeel of a candy bar, that is not your belly talking. That is your head talking. That's a craving. If, however, your stomach is rumbling and you feel really empty up under your rib cage, that front part of your diaphragm, well, that's real hunger. And you can do that in 60 seconds of getting quiet. It doesn't take a long time. We just forget that we should do that. When we were little, we did that all the time. Young kids do it all the time. And they only eat to where they are done with capacity. And then they run away, and you're left with a three-quarter eaten grilled cheese sandwich on a plate out in the backyard.
We've all seen that.
You're like, pick up your plate.
I'm jumping back in the pool. Goodbye, food. Yeah, so I think that is such a great skill to sit still for 60 seconds, get quiet. I would imagine even breathing, you know, breathe into the feeling. Decide what are you actually feeling. So it's first determining, is this hunger from my belly? Is this my head talking? Okay, it's actually my head talking. All right, so what am I actually really feeling? Maybe I'm feeling anxious, panicky, maybe even angry, maybe scared, fear, bored. And then having a list of resources of ways to meet that need for that emotion in healthier ways. So maybe if you're bored, you know, call a friend, read a book. Maybe if you're anxious, take a walk, do some planking. Let me tell you, planking for a few minutes will clear your head and you it will get you right back into a space. So it's really about all
planking for
mindfulness.
2 seconds will clear your head.
So imagine in the grocery store, everyone just drops and planks. Everyone just planks. And watch
but
how that grocery cart changes. don't touch the floor. Plank with wipes. So, and I think keeping a sense of humor above all through all of this is really key too.
Absolutely.
And I think even finding humor in the ways that we're trying to meet that anxiety, I mean, some of it is actually pretty funny. You know, the stuff that we do. And you know, taking the seriousness out of it as much as possible in such a serious situation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I know we're laughing, but it's true. You know, there really is a lot of mechanisms behind our humor and what it does to our brain and what it does to our body and our breathing patterns. You know, everybody right now is holding their breath.
Mm-hmm.
And tensing their bodies because we're on this constant now on this fight flight. You know, I woke up this morning and I went out to say good morning to my daughter who is 15 as in social media land. And she's like, there's 1,000 more cases in Florida now, Mom. And I was like, oh okay, I'm going to breathe. There's a lot of people in Florida.
Uh-huh.
right? I'm like, but wait a minute. And, you know, it's just, but it's the sign of what's happening right now, right? We're hit right now. You know, as soon as she woke up, she turned on her phone and that's the first thing that pops up. And so we're all holding our breath. And what we forget is that food and eating helps regulate our breath patterns. Mm-hmm. We actually use it to regulate breath patterns. And we can become addicted mm-hmm. to that. In forgetting that we know how to breathe, then our body starts to crave food to help us relax our breathing patterns. There's an addictive cycle to that that can be exacerbated enormously right now.
Remembering, you know, we forget to breathe. And you and I, we work with this all the time with our clients about breathing. And yet, even still, you know, we can hold our breath. You know, you're talking about what your daughter said this morning. And, you know, I heard that grocery stores were going to be closed. Now, I immediately held my breath because I was like, wait a minute, is that even true? Where did you hear that from? So kind of questioning the thought that's creating that feeling that's making you hold your breath. So like you said before, I mean, we are in training. This is like a boot camp where once we get out of all of this and this will end, wow, what will this do, you know, in everyday life to get control over that anxiety? To harness that power of the anxiety, because really all of anxiety is the cortisol and the adrenaline. Mm-hmm. So if you can just point that at something that is better for you, that empowers you in other ways, get a list of it and remember to breathe. I mean, I'm a big fan of sticky notes.
Yeah.
Put them on your refrigerator. Put on there, breathe, focus. This too shall pass. Everyone is fine. Just reminders to keep your, so we don't go into that hold your breath sort of behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. And laughter can help with that. I mean, anything that enables you to breathe, reminding yourself to do it, setting your timer on your phone, making sure you're keeping, you know, a sense of humor, getting out into nature. I've read more reports on how much better people will do through this time period, emotionally and physically, being outside. And we do know that mm-hmm. people breathe easier outside. So, you know, having a list of things that you can do when you're feeling anxious, you know, like you were saying, or when you're feeling bored, I think for people now is imperative to really write down 10 things that you can do if you're feeling anxious, 10 things you can do to help with the boredom. I made a running list yesterday with my children of like, okay, here's the things that we've been wanting to do and we haven't had time. So mm-hmm. now we got time. Let's do it. You know, some of it fun, like, you know, maybe heading to the beach and walking on the beach, and it's social distance though, of course, responsibly. And some of it not fun, like cleaning out the closet. But
exactly.
All of it needs to get done. And being able to have those lists to refer back to in this time will also help take the focus off the food. Because if you can get that focus off the food during this time, then in a month, you will have it down pat. Because this, as you said, you're right, this is the boot camp. This is where we've all been thrown into, and now we can swim through it and rise above it and overcome it and be able to really harness how we deal with anxiety, how we deal with boredom without going to food, with really feeling the feeling and finding ways to cope with that feeling as opposed to avoiding that feeling and diving into food.
Yeah, and keeping that mind space of all the benefits from really going in and having a closer look and getting clear on those patterns, then we will turn towards it. We will not try to run and avoid. We're going to go, wow, all right, this is some really important learning. And making, you know, writing in a journal, writing out the key points of what you are learning so that when life does get back to its regular clockwork system, that we don't go back, right? Yeah. So it's like remembering to remember, keeping that list, getting down on how this is changing your daily routine. I mean, I saw a really funny meme on Facebook yesterday, actually, something around like, well, now we can see how many meetings can be just done through emails because, you know, it wasn't necessary. So kind of trimming out of your life what isn't necessary, what has been causing you anxiety and stress and panic, that wasn't necessary and getting the priorities down in a different way. And then supporting those priorities with the ways that you're living right now, specifically the ways that you're eating, which is a big one for so many people. And it's even in my own family, it's very interesting how food shows up in different ways. You know, how even with six people, how we all have a different reaction around food when there's stress. Mine actually tends to be to not eat, which isn't great either. But then I suddenly want ground beef, which makes no sense because I don't eat ground beef. You know,
that's because
so
you couldn't have
really,
it. There was none there.
You told me I couldn't have ground beef. Now I immediately want some ground beef. Exactly. So, or like, you know, other family members might go and start grazing and they go straight for the chips or the cookies or whatever. It's just very interesting. So it's not even just our own emotional patterns, you know. Have a look at, wow, this is how the whole family does it. Now, we're not all doing it the same way. It's so interesting.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting, isn't it? How everyone's responding differently and how everyone responds differently in a different infrastructure, like a family.
Well, the family is the petri dish of life. So since we are all in our homes, you know, having a good look, this is probably going to bring out a lot of other stuff. And, you know, you and I live in Florida, so being shuttered up, this is different than a hurricane. But we've been through situations before where we were kind of walled off and kind of shuttered up in the house. This one we're allowed out, which is great news. But it's just a really great time to recreate. I think there's just so much opportunity right now in the midst of all of the craziness.
Yeah, and if you take it like that, I even had to remind myself, you know, I go really, really hard, really fast. And over the weekend when things were kind of shutting down and stopping and kids were called home an extra week and we called off, you know, we were going to travel for a few days for spring break and we called that off to really be socially responsible. And, you know, all this started kind of shutting down. I was like, wait a minute, what am I going to do? And I was like, Oh, yeah. You mean I
have to go down. Oh, there it is. Boom, there it is.
Mm-hmm. And I had to, but I had to stop myself literally and like reframe myself to say, oh, wait, this is a different time. I need to learn different things. I need to see it different right now. Instead of climbing the uphill wall of trying to do everything the same in not so same times and being able to pivot and look a different direction and say, oh, okay, well, now's the time we can do this or do this. Or I made a really big home cooked meal with the food that I could get off the shelves in our local grocery store last night, you know. Things I cook dinner every night anyway in my home, but and I know you did too when you had all your peeps at home, but that's a big value construct for me. But I even made it more elaborate. We had a big Mexican taco night, and you know, everything was put out on the buffet table because I could. I have the time. And so if we see it as an opportunity to learn and grow and do different things and slow down, we can grow immensely from it internally, which will then also help the petri dish.
It's so true. And, you know, we share the same value construct about the family dinner. And let's face it, I mean, in the past decade, when we're all running around with our jobs and our families and our lives, you know, that may be one of the ones that people are not embracing as much as they used to. So maybe it's about bringing the family back. Maybe it's about sharing healthy recipes. I mean, this used to be something I remember my mother doing. I mean, I'd love to know your recipe for Mexican taco night. Great. So what's a healthier way to do that? You know, we can empower each other and share these ways of better eating for better living right now. And we can find other ways to do things. Another thing I just saw on social media was this guy was standing on the roof of a building. It was in Spain, and he was facing a building of people all on their balconies. And he was a fitness instructor. He was doing a workout and they were all doing it on their balconies. Now he was very far from them. But I thought that is so creative. That is so clever.
That is.
And then, yeah, I mean, why not bring that into the food? Mm-hmm. And why not see this as, wow, you know, this is what I do, and get these patterns. I mean, we may be home for a bit. No one really knows how long this may go, but great. Okay, so we're going to reevaluate, and we're really going to change some things. Maybe some stuff that we've not wanted to look at, we keep avoiding through the food, mm-hmm. and really get some positive change that's going to last in the family.
Yeah.
And in our own personal lives, even people without families or who are single people. I mean, it's all great learning. This is all really great learning.
Yeah. Yeah. And right. You're absolutely right. If you're alone, single, or it's just you and your spouse, you know, and you don't have a large family, it doesn't matter. What I did for my family, my children last night was about connection, and it was about nurturance, and it was about love. And it was a lot less about the food. I mean, it was healthy food, and it was going to sustain our body and going to give us, you know, a lot of good nutrition. But even if you're alone or you're just with a spouse, you can do the same thing. You just won't mm-hmm. won't have as many things on the buffet table. But it's the same premise, right? Connect to another person or connect to yourself by nurturing yourself with good nutrition, right? And not connecting to just the palatability of the food or how it tastes or the sweetness, you know, connect to the nutritional component of it.
Yeah. And that radical self-care, you know, we've all been talking about self-care in particular with food, and we talk about it and then maybe we don't do it. But this is a time where we're all really going to do it mm-hmm. because maybe we just have to. I mean, you know, I'm looking at in the produce yesterday, and I was looking at the avocados, and I'm thinking, okay, how many ways can I cook with an avocado? Because there's no ground beef in this grocery store. You know, I'm playing. But looking at food in different ways, becoming more creative with the recipes, and that reframe is so key in how we're all looking at this. And that in itself will ease that anxiety that you won't feel the need to run from, because you made this all mean something very different. It means something good and empowering now.
Right.
And absolutely. I think that's the root of all of it.
Mm-hmm. That is the root of all of it, right? That change is going to come, and our propensity is to keep, like I was about to do, right? Keep clawing up the same wall that I, you know, that I usually sail over. But in these times, it would be clawing at it and running into it, because these times have changed right now. So yeah, making that pivot and doing that reframe. And you have the time now to look at healthy recipes, right? You have the time now to create those. You have the time now to take a look at your emotional health. We talk about self-care and getting our nails done, which is so interesting mm-hmm. to me, or taking bubble baths. I'm like, really? Right. Isn't self-care more about what's on the inside and really knowing what we're feeling when we're feeling it, particularly through a time like this? And then really understanding, what do we do with those feelings? Do we just need to ride out that wave of anxiety for a few minutes? Do we need to go out for a walk in nature? Do we need to go tackle the closet that hasn't been cleaned in 4 years? I really don't want to do, but I will.
Right. I think that's it. So diving in, leaning in, and knowing that really any feeling will go away even on its own. Anxiety, when you're in the throes of it, can feel like, oh my God, the world is ending. We all go into that fight, flight, or freeze response. And that's where the avoidant eating begins. But just to sit with it, breathe, ask mm-hmm. your anxiety, literally, you know, what are you trying to tell me? Mm-hmm. You know, I tend to talk to myself a lot. People might think I'm off, but literally going, hey, anxiety, you know, what's really going on here? What do you need? So that's the internal dialogue. And yeah, bubble baths are great. Those are fun. Mani-pedis are super fun. But without dealing with on the inside, you know, and we are, again, this opportunity to be able to do that inside ourselves, inside our homes, inside of our families. I think to keep the focus there and know that through the end of this, maybe some things that you've known deep down need to change. I mean, we all know deep down somewhere of where we need to make change that would be more beneficial. Now, whether we do it or not is a different story. So this is one of those times where we're going to do it, and if we all embrace it, I just think so much greatness can come out of it.
Absolutely. That's right. And that's why I love you. Because
that's why I love you.
You're just, you've always been, you know, an amazing person, even when I met you years ago, but you've become even more wisdomful and able to just, you know, help me and help others see their light and how to reach their highest potential. So I thank you so much for coming on with me today.
It is my pleasure, my friend. And let's all, and we have laughed and we have cried and we have been through so much in our own lives. And yes, we both have grown so much. And yeah, let's all be wisdomful. I mean, please pass the wisdom because this is that time for everyone. And I thank you so much for inviting me. This has been a lot of fun and I can't wait to see what's next.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for coming on with me today. And I know that we will speak soon. For those of you out there that are listening to this, keep overcoming. This is just one more adventure. And I know that this mountain that you're climbing right now, you will get to the peak of it, as we all will. And let's all come on the other side, different, changed, and better for it. Thanks so much. Have a beautiful evening.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, share it with a friend. Rate, review, and subscribe. You never know who you'll help become the next overcomer.